after Jesus died, he rose again, there's implications of that reality. And really, for us today, we've got to wrestle with the fact that Jesus Christ has, there's this news that's out there, this message that somebody died, somebody rose from the grave, and he's alive right now. What are we going to do with that? And so today we want to keep talking about that. We want to ask that his love would renew us. We've been singing about lights, and we're going to talk about that today. Last week, if you're here, we talked about what to do while I'm away. Here's a list of what to do while I'm away. And Jesus gives that. We're going to look at that for a moment. And it was kind of funny. Last Sunday afternoon, I called my daddy in BC, and we want to go out there for summer holidays. And he's going to be away for a little while. And he said, "Craig, here's a list of things I want you to do while I'm away." And he had his list of this leaks, you need this code, this is kind of broken over here, do you want to drive this, do you want to go here, do you want to do that? I want to leave you a list of the things to do while I'm away. And so I was like, I think I've heard that somewhere before, as I was thinking about last week. Friends, Jesus informs us today, just as he informed his friend John, who wrote the book we're going to look at. He gives a list of things to do while I'm away, and it really informs the letter that we're looking at in 1 John. And I want to just share that with you one more time before we look at 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 to 10. The one who died, the one who rose again, the one who's living right now, before the cross, before the resurrection, he's with his friend John, who wrote the letter we're going to be looking at. And this moment, really, after all of this transpires, John looks back and he's so informed by these words that we find in John 13. And it's really meant to be a standard that Jesus sets and a list of things to do while he's away. It says this, John 13, verse 34, "A new commandment I give to you, to love one another, just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." And from that point forward, John, after the death, after the resurrection, after Jesus goes into heaven, he looks back. And it's not that just Jesus was a good teacher, or he washed their feet, or he said some really cool things, or he healed some people, or he multiplied some stuff. John's now reading what Jesus said here in John 13 through the lens of the cross of Jesus Christ. The standard of love is the cross of Jesus. The list of things to do while Jesus is away, he's in heaven now, and right here, right now, he wants real people to do some stuff while he's away. It's to love one another as I have loved you. And so from that point forward, John later on in life, he's a pastor over a whole pile of churches in the ancient Near East. And in 1 John, this moment in John 13, he's informed by that as he writes this letter. I want you to think about that today. You see, you and I are meant to walk in light. Walk in the light. And not just spotlights or sunlight, but that there's a light and a life of God, the way that he wants us to live. A light that comes from him for us to be a part of. There's a way that we're meant to walk. And God's so kind. He makes it so that we understand this. We know that there what darkness is like. And we know, you know, when you're stumbling around early in the morning, but then somebody flicks on the light and you're like, but then you can see. We know the difference between darkness and light. Jesus wants us to walk in his light. That's part of what it looks like to keep this commandment of loving one another. And at the same time, how come it seems so dark? Why do we keep wrestling with darkness that affects us? Why do we live in a world where there's so much darkness all around us? Friends, God wants the people who have heard of his light to walk in the light so that they shine the light and live the light wherever they are. And so if we've heard these words, then there's a plea that goes out to us to walk in the light, to live his life in his life and walk in the light. And so I just want to read this from 1 John. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there. It's in your bulletin this morning. And there's Bibles in the seat rack in front of you. You can grab one of those. If you don't have a Bible, please take one and take it home. We'd love for you to do that. And there's two big chunks here that I want to look at, and then particularly want to unpack the walking in the light part for a little bit this morning. 1 John. So here's this pastor. He's later in life. He's been impacted by the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. And now he's a pastor over a whole pile of churches, and he's writing this to them so that they listen and they're affected by Jesus. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked up and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. Let me pause there for a moment. John's saying that he actually sat with Jesus. He actually hung out with Jesus. He actually spent time with this one that he's writing about. And I don't know about you, but have you ever met somebody who's kind of famous and you want to name drop a little bit? I don't totally like doing that, but I will. Let me do that for a moment. When I was in grade 12 at W.J. Mowat in Abbotsford, B.C., Evangeline Lilly was in my keyboarding class. And Evangeline Lilly was in a show called Lost. She was in some movies. Fairly famous actress. And apparently she lived in Fort Saskatchewan for a little while. I didn't realize that. It's kind of cool that she was there. And, I was kind of close to her while I was typing and I was in this keyboarding class. I thought, this would be a good skill to have later in life, to keep going with all this keyboarding. So I'm a fairly fast keyboarding. I can type fairly fast, which is cool. But I'll be honest with you. Evangeline Lilly was cute, and she had lots of friends. And that's really why I was in the class. So I'll just fess up today. That's why I went to keyboarding in grade 12. I gained some skills, but I also gained some friends. It was a lot of fun. But it's kind of neat that she was there, and she's in some movies, whatever. I have the yearbook to prove it if you don't believe me. She's in my yearbook. Yeah, it's highlighted. Yeah, right. There's a big heart around it. No, I'm just kidding. But this is what John's trying to say here. Not Evangeline Lilly, Jesus the Christ. We hung out together. We walked the shores of Galilee. We sat and we ate. We were together. I actually touched his hands. I saw his face. I saw him die. And I saw him living again. Somebody was raised from the grave. The life has come. And I want you to see that. I want you to believe that. And I want you to know, because that's happened, everything else changes. Church, ancient church, Fort Saskatchewan Alliance Church, April 30th, 2017. Because I was there. I want you to know I was there. That's what he's saying. But it's got to have implications for them then and for us today. This witness tells us about it. The life was made manifest, so it actually showed up. We've seen it. He's repeating this idea. We testify, we proclaim to you. Not just life, not just that he was there, but it's eternal life. All of the promises of thousands of years have been fulfilled. He actually showed up. It's been made manifest. We've seen it. We've heard it. We proclaim it to you. So there's a reason that this happened. You'll have fellowship with us. You'll be friends with us. But more than that, you have fellowship with the Father God, his Son Jesus. And that you'll have real, deep joy. Friends, do you need joy today? Not just a fleeting happiness, but a deep sense of joy. Pastor John is writing this so that you have joy because of what has happened through Jesus. He has come, therefore, verse 5, this message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him, while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Verse 7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. This is the Lord's word. Friends, we're meant, because this is true of who Jesus is, we're meant to then walk in light. Not just the people in John's church way back when, but right here, right now, from now on until Jesus comes again or we see him face to face, we're meant to walk in his light, to shine his light, to have his light in our lives. And I just want to sort of unpack that a little bit right now. When we hear the word light in scriptures, our mind is meant to go back to the very first chapter of the Bible. When God says, let there be light. You see, the source of light initially is God Almighty, which is amazing. He set the boundary between darkness and light. He said, let there be light. We know that difference. And so there's this divine sense and source of light. Jesus has always been with the Father and he shines the light of God. He is light. He's radiant. He's amazing. And he shows light. He shows through his life what it means to live and how to live. To straighten our way and shine the way of life. He's the object of knowledge. If you want to grow in wisdom, if you want to grow in knowledge, learn about who Jesus is. Place everything else aside and make that your primary focus in life. And it's amazing when you do that, actually other things start to fall in place in your own life. Not only that, but he's the way of salvation. I love how God just really boils this down for us, but it really helps us. We once were lost and in darkness, but then a way came open and we saw a path and we walked out. Jesus is the way of salvation. How do you get saved? How do you get freedom? How do you move forward in life? Jesus Christ brings that. He's the way of salvation. And he's accomplished this. It's not just a theory. That's why the cross and the resurrection matter so much. It's not just a theory. It's not just empty words that he says, maybe I'll get to that. The beauty of Jesus is that his power over darkness, he implicates himself in that by dying on a cross, defeating sin and death, and bursting forth from the grave. The greatest enemies that you'll ever face in this life have been defeated by Jesus. The greatest enemy of sin in your life has been paid for, bought and paid for by the Son of God. The cross of Jesus, his death swallows up death. Come on, every single day, human beings are trying to outrun death. And his death has swallowed it up. It has no victory over those who are in Christ Jesus. Amen. That is amazing. His cross and his resurrection. He bursts forth from the grave and we understand that. He shines brighter than the sunshine as it peaks over the horizon. He shines and he shines and he shines. Not only did he say he would do that, but he accomplished it through his actions. And then he wants to apply that to your life and my life right here and right now. God is light. That's the sermon today. God is light, period. Or I guess it says comma. God is light. This is the message that we have heard from him and proclaimed to you. There's no darkness in him at all. Ponder that for a moment. No darkness at all. Never was, never is, never will be. That is amazing. And then now he's saying, come, let it all be defined by me. Let your world orbit around me. Jesus must define all life. He has come. And he's saying, Pastor John is saying to us today, walk in light. How do we do that? Well, let me just touch on that for a few moments. How can we walk in the light? What does that look like? How does that work itself out when you're not, you know, thinking about it at church on a Sunday morning? How can we walk in the light? Well, John's inviting us to be honest to God. Friends, when's the last time you were honest to God? You don't have to get up and, you know, confess all kinds of things in front of people here at church today. But when was the last time you were honest to God about the things that were going on in your heart? Look at this in verse 8. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. We need to be honest about the stuff that's going on in our own hearts. We need to be honest today about what's really holding us back. What dark corners there might be. I love the image of a house. And that there's some places where the light is shining, kind of like, you know, in this room right now. But, you know, downstairs by the furnace, in the back corner, where the spider webs and the dust bunnies collect, right? That can happen in our own souls where, you know, Jesus has access. He has the run of this room, but hold on. No. He does not get to go to the furnace room. It's dark and it's smelly and there's stuff that I don't want him to see there. Friends, we get saved, we confess our sin to him, but then we need to keep on being honest to him each and every day. Honest about what's going on. Confessing our sin to him. The selfishness, the pride, whatever it might be, asking him to shine light in that stinky furnace room corner. What's in your stinky furnace room corner today? They always kind of stink, don't they? You know what I'm talking about, I hope. Look at this. This is amazing about what John says here as well. How do you fix your friendship desire? So many of us want to be known. We want to have friendship. We want to have a relationship with people. How do we deal with that? John's saying that we need to have fellowship with him first. But if we walk in the light as he's in the light, we have fellowship with one another. Friends, if you want to deal with your friendship desire, he's saying get intimate and walk in the light with God first. And then something amazing, miraculously, will happen in your relationships with other people. You'll learn to be honest. You'll learn to be true. You'll learn to be sincere and humble by confessing your sin and walking in the light with him. And that'll actually, because you're doing this first, it'll actually impact and affect the relationships around you. If you want to have friendships, get into the light of God. Go deeper with him and he's going to do something miraculously around you in your relationships. How do you fix that friendship desire? Well, go deeper in the light of God in relationship with him. And this is meant to be an everyday and ongoing way. John's not claiming here that we just have sinless perfection from now on. This is meant to keep on encouraging us to walk with him every day in an ongoing way. That you're keeping short accounts. That's one thing I remember a youth pastor talking to me and our youth group about years ago. Keep short accounts with God. And we do that in relationship with human beings, don't we? You know, if I say something when I'm grumpy and tired and hungry to my wife, stick my foot in my mouth, say something stupid that I shouldn't be saying, I need to go and apologize. Otherwise, things get hard. Things get serious. There drives a wedge. There's some darkness that comes in our relationship. And so I need to apologize. And I can say, well, I was really hungry. Yes, that's probably true. And I was really grumpy. Well, I know, but I need to own my stuff, own what I said. And I need to keep on doing that in my relationship with my wife or my kids, whatever it might be. Friends, if we've done that, if we do that in human relationships, how much more? God, there's a relational nature in our relationship with him that we have to keep short accounts with him. And it's an ongoing thing. And so when you see something or say something or do something or think something that you shouldn't, just whisper a confession to him and admit that to him. Ongoing. Keep on doing this. He wants us to go deeper in our relationship with the Father, with him as our Father, and to grow in our friendship with others And so he lays this out in verses 5 to 10 for us. There's a pattern here for us. If Jesus is the light and the life, then here's a pattern for us to keep on doing so that we go deeper. We walk in the light by keeping close to the Father and growing in friendship with other people. And there's a lightness of love that I want you to see in verse 9. Pastor John says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So the light shines in our life. And the love comes from God to us. And he wants us to confess our sins to bring freedom, a lightness. So not just the light shining and revealing, but for us to feel differently. Have you ever been holding on to something in your soul? Or whatever's the dark, stinky thing rotting in the furnace room? And you know it's just weighing you down. You know that underneath the surface, because we're human beings, we're not just flesh and blood. We have souls that are deep, and there's lots of dimensions and things there of who we are. And when we've done something or we're holding something back, it starts to weigh on us, and it can compound and act like chains on us. A memory, perhaps. Something that we've done that we're hiding from other people. And so this verse is giving us the freedom to receive faithfulness, forgiveness, and cleansing from God, and for us to actually feel lighter because we've dealt with the baggage that's in our soul. Friends, all of us are carrying some kind of baggage. We're human beings. This is what it means to be a human being. And God wants us to deal with this kind of stuff. When I was probably 13 years old, it was before church. These things seem to happen around church for some reason. It was before church. My brother and I were getting ready before church. And he said some stuff to me. And I was the big brother. And so, you know, I had some patience, right? But this, the right hand of Craig was ready. So he just kept saying, and I'm like, what'd you say? And he said it again. I said, what'd you say? This is guys, right? What'd you say? And you heard me. This is what I said. And I'm just like, and then it's kind of funny now, but then I don't know, something happened. I kind of snapped. And it's actually one of the worst memories in my life because I pounded. And the response from me, from my brother, for what he was saying was completely inordinate to what he was saying to me. It was so bad that my stepmom had to rush to him and we almost had to take him to the hospital. I don't know what happened. I just kind of saw red and I just lost it on him. And I remember sitting on the couch watching my stepmom over my brother and just like, what did I do? The one person in life that I'm supposed to care for, protect, look out for, I'd done that my whole life for him. You know, my parents got divorced and they were away. And so I just felt like this responsibility to take care of my brother. And in that moment, I just like undermined the whole thing. I was about 13 years old. And I never really dealt with the shame or the pain of that situation or the anger in that moment. And I can tell you, for years and years, that moment, without really being totally aware of it, affected how I acted as a husband, as a dad, as a pastor. Because I just felt so ashamed of abusing my power and authority to hurt somebody that meant so much to me. And a couple years ago, I was out in Manitoba at Southland Church, a church renewal weekend. And I was in a thing called Set Free, and we just prayed through memories of things that might be holding you back. And I wasn't really expecting this, but kind of got Jesus shine the light in my cold, stinky basement furnace room. And I was like, oh no, not this. And I was kind of like, yes, yes, Craig, today's the day. And then just in the flood, I can't even explain it. He shined light and I confessed my sin and I received his forgiveness. And then it's like these big, you know, hedge clipper trimmers just went, and the chain snapped. And that burden that I've been carrying for decades, I felt lighter. It was gone. The applied forgiveness of Jesus hit me like never before, and I felt like I was floating. There's no floating going on, but it just felt that way. This is the application of the light of God that he wants to shine in your life. He wants to cut those chains. You're meant to walk in the light. And those chains are meant to be cut. And you're meant to walk in freedom today. What's holding you back? God's so kind, he's just going to probably just talk about one thing to you today or in the days ahead. But he just wants to shine the light on it, and he wants you to confess it, and then he wants to go. And he has died, and he's risen again. Therefore, he has the power to go. And you can walk free. Come out of the dungeon. Walk free. Let his light shine. Walk in light, because you're healed and forgiven. What would it look like? What could it look like? Imagine just for a moment, hopefully, prayerfully imagine what it would look like in your life if you walked more in his light. If you actually let him shine into that dark, smelly furnace room, cobweb corner. Friends, he wants to shine on that place. He's eager. He's kind. He's generous. He's amazing. He doesn't treat us as our sins deserve. He wants to shine light, heal, and it says cleanse. He wants to set you free.